You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, Arise, Shine, for Your Light Has Come. Now, here is Dr. Schultz.
Last week on this program, we spoke about a lady from Oregon, featured in Time magazine, who claims that every fall she seems to get depressed. She can't get going in the morning, and she begins to eat more than she needs, and then she gains weight. This same lady further claims that she read an article that convinced her that her depression was caused by a lack of sunlight. The winter days are shorter, she says, and this causes depression. And then discouragement and despair take over. Finally, this same lady claims that she has now found an answer. Time magazine writes that every morning this lady turns on a specially constructed light box. And then for a half an hour, she sits in front of the light box. And by doing this, this lady claims, she tricks her brain into thinking it's still enjoying those long summer days. It seems to work, she says. Even my kids notice a difference. I'm back to my jovial self. Now, it's not our purpose on this program to evaluate the claims or the emotional feelings of someone who is convinced they have found out how to feel better in life, especially as it relates to sunlight. It is, however, our joy and our privilege to announce the good news spoken by the prophet Isaiah about the gracious light of our loving God, a light which enables us to rise and to shine and to live above discouragement. You see, between the 5th and the 6th centuries B.C., the people of Israel were in darkness. Their nation had been overrun, and the people were taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And in their bondage, these people were very discouraged. They felt like they were in eternal darkness, and they were convinced there was no hope. And yet, in the midst of their despair, the prophet Isaiah was sent by God to proclaim God's good news to these discouraged people. Isaiah said, "Arise, yes, arise and shine, your light has come." This message of our gracious God, spoken by Isaiah the prophet, was good news of great joy for those in the darkness of the bondage of Babylon. And through this good news, these people were enabled, yes, they were energized by God's gospel. They heard the good news that they were free not only physically, but also spiritually. They could now rebuild the temple, and this new house of worship would enable them once again to openly and publicly worship the God of Abraham and Isaac. These newly restored public worship services, yes, these temple sacrifices, all foreshadowed and foretold the perfect and complete sacrifice that Jesus would make on the cross, the sacrifice of the perfect Lamb that would take away the sin of the world. In the Bible, in Hebrews chapters 9 and 10, you can read about these incomplete animal sacrifices. But then the Bible says, when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. Jesus entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For the Bible says, if the blood of goats and bulls and ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more? Yes, how much more will the blood of Jesus Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Oh, with this good news of the gospel, built upon the sin-atoning death of Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice, no wonder Isaiah's message was powerful and filled with hope and laden with life when he said, "Arise, arise and shine, your light has come." And just as Isaiah, 6 centuries before Jesus was born, reminded the people that God's light of salvation would soon remove their darkness of sin and bondage, so also Jesus stated decisively and proclaimed clearly that He, Jesus, was and still is the light of the world. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, verse 16, we read that one day Jesus came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and, as was His custom, He entered the synagogue on the Sabbath. There He stood up to read. And the Bible explains, in this service, the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to Him. Jesus opened the book, and He found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because God has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free all those who are downtrodden, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." Then the Bible says Jesus closed the book. He gave it back to the attendant, and then He sat down. And then the Bible tells us that the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed upon Jesus. Then Jesus said to those who were there assembled, He said, Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Of course, Jesus knew precisely who He was, and He stated clearly that He was the long-promised Messiah. The Heavenly Father, Jesus said, had not sent Him into the world to condemn the world, but rather God the Father sent His Son Jesus into the world to die for the sins of the whole world, and to bring light and hope, and to save you from the curse of your sin. Now remember the lady we spoke about just a moment ago? She is the woman from Oregon described in Time magazine. Well, this is the lady who was down and discouraged because she believed she needed more sunshine each day. However, we dare never believe that the light of the sun in the sky or a light box is going to quickly or automatically cure all our problems. The darkness in our homes can be driven out by a light bulb, but the darkness of sin in our soul can be removed only by Jesus, the light of the world, and the one who takes away the darkness of all our sin and guilt. You see, throughout the Bible, the concept of God's gospel, the good news of His forgiveness and hope, has always been closely associated with God's light. For example, in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 9, we read these words, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light, and those who live in a dark land, the light will shine upon them." Shortly before Jesus was born, at the birth of John the Baptist, we read that Zechariah said, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare His ways, to give His people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high shall visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace." And of this same Jesus, the Apostle John wrote, "In Him, in Jesus Christ, was life, and this life was the light of men." Again, St. John writes, "There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man." Of course, the apostle here was speaking about Jesus. And of course, how much more closely could the solid connection have been made than when Jesus Himself said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Oh, the good news of God's light of forgiveness in Jesus Christ is especially important for women today as they struggle to juggle the time often required to be both a mother and a woman with a career. Last October, the USA Weekend magazine supplement had a very interesting headline which said that women today are, and I'm quoting here, "more focused on the home, and they feel less guilty about it than any time in the last 20 years. This well-researched article explains that 20 years ago, there was a big push, especially by the media, to get all women to believe that unless they had a full-time career, their life was without meaning. Now listen to this. This same magazine article reports that an increasing number of women are now refusing to be misled by this type of foolish propaganda. An increasing number of women are rediscovering the joy of God's blessing of motherhood and the fulfillment of being a housewife. The magazine article said, and I quote again, "The share of working women who said career is as important as being a wife and a mother plunged 23%. Finally, this same article then goes on to state that the study found that the notion of quality time has fallen into disfavor most sharply among working women. While the late 70s women minted the concept as a justification for spending less time at home, now many women have decided it didn't work for them or for their kids either. And what this secular journal is simply saying is this: there are a lot of women today, now in their 30s and their 40s and their 50s, who realize that by following the popular propaganda of the feminist movement, they were misled into shortchanging their own children from much of the love and the support their loved ones so desperately needed. Now a large number of these women feel guilty. If you, my friend, are one of these ladies, then don't give up. Don't live in the darkness of despair and discouragement. Instead, listen as God speaks His good news to you through His prophet Isaiah. Arise, yes, arise and shine, because your light has come. You see, my friend, this light of hope is the light of God's gospel of full and perfect and total forgiveness. You see, God wants you to know that if you have failed in the past, Jesus Christ has paid for all of your mistakes and your failures with His blood. In Jesus, God not only forgives you, but He does even more. Yes, my friend, God enables you to be a new mother and a new friend of your children, no matter how young or old they are. And God also promises you a new joy in your home, a renewed source of hope in your marriage, and someone your children will not eventually condemn, but actually commend. And so then, rather than following these foolish fakers, or instead of seeking hope in light boxes to replace the sun in the sky, fix your eyes, my friend, on the Lord Jesus Christ. This crucified and resurrected Jesus is the author and the finisher of faith. He is the one who wants to assure you today that God loves you and your entire family. No, Jesus was not a huckster. He was not a false light. Jesus was and still is the real light of the world. Beginning today, live in darkness and despair no longer, but rather turn your eyes unto Jesus. And in Jesus Christ, God has forgiven your sins. And where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. Listen. Yes, listen, because God is calling you. And through His living Word, God is inviting you and He's offering you forgiveness, comfort, and joy. Oh, my friend, arise. Arise and forget your past failures. Arise and shine. For Jesus Christ, your light, has come. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.